Welcome to episode 33 of Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast. 33, really special and cool episode for us. Obviously, we are an IndyCar podcast, and obviously the number 33
very special.
Has a lot of significance. Yes. In the world of IndyCar.
Yes, it does.
So we are very proud and excited to bring you episode 33, and in this episode, we are going to recap the race at Barber.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to preview the race at St. Pete.
The beautiful St. Pete.
Beautiful St. Pete. We're going to talk a little bit of betting. Hopefully, maybe, possibly give you guys some tips and maybe win you some money.
Hopefully.
Who knows? Bet at your own risk. And then for the final segment, we're going to talk about the huge news that got dropped this week about the attendance
at the greatest spectacle in racing.
Yes. So we will cover all things 135,000 people that we can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty good episode.
It's a great episode. Glad you're here listening to us talk about one of our favorite things. Really cool thing. Glad you're here with us.
So welcome to episode 33. Here we go. And here we go with episode
33
of Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast with your hosts, Chris and Ryan.
As always.
Recapping the Barber race.
The Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama.
There you go. The Barber race.
Yes.
Kind of interesting weekend.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about it in the last episode about the potential that Arrow McLaren SP had. And boy, did they deliver.
They sure did.
Now, Felix had a little rough weekend.
Yeah, he did.
Kind of blew it coming into the pits.
Mm-hmm.
Smokes the guardrail. But Pato O'Ward, boy.
He was strong all weekend.
I think he had the dominant car. Mm-hmm. They just picked the wrong strategy.
Yep.
Because even at the end of the race, he was flying.
Yeah.
He was faster than anybody on the track.
I think if he had about 5 to 6 more laps, he could have had a shot at the win.
So, gets the pole.
Mm-hmm. Dominates from the pole for the first stint of the race.
Right. And then all of a sudden, they go three stopper.
Mm-hmm.
Rossi goes three stopper.
And mostly everyone else goes two stopper. And the two stop was the winning strategy of the day, for sure, no doubt. A lot of guys that finished in the top 10 were on the two stop strategy.
Yeah, it was. Start off with practice and how things went on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was, it was exactly like NBC Gold.
Yeah, for sure.
So I thought it was really good coverage.
Mm-hmm.
We get into qualifying, and I think the surprise of qualifying was the fact that one Team Penske car was in the Fast Six.
Yeah, this has typically been a Penske track, so.
And that car was Willpower.
Probably the best qualifier out of the group.
Yeah, he started fourth. And so to run through the Fast Six, O'Ward got the pole.
Yep.
Rossi started second. Alex Palou, third. Willpower, fourth. Dixon started fifth. And Erickson, sixth.
Yeah, so you got three Ganassis in there.
Three Ganassis. That does not bode well for the rest of the paddock.
No, it doesn't.
For the rest of the season.
No.
Before we get into the actual race, let's talk a little bit about Palou. I think you saw last year with Coyne
that he was a very talented driver.
Yeah, what his potential could be.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had some pretty stellar races last year.
Yeah, he typically qualified really well.
Right, for Coyne.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, and I know we talked in the last episode about how maybe Ganassi wasn't really looking to bring Pelot on, and they were kind of forced to when Felix left.
I think it might have worked out for him.
And it may be a blessing in disguise, because Felix is a little wild.
Yeah, he tends to do some damage sometimes to the car.
He tends to light those dollar bills on fire. Yeah. And
good thing he's racing for McLaren now, where they have all the money in the right, world.
And they got enough. But you bring Alex Pelot to Chip Ganassi Racing.
And in the 10 car, which hadn't been very successful since Dario left it back when.
Man, I tell you, that guy, Robin Miller was right when he said the two guys to watch this year, Pato O'Ward, Alex Pelot.
Sure, and both of them were strong this whole weekend.
And that is going to be something to watch. So, so that was your qualifying. Our dude, Connor Daly, qualified. Well, I think he was in the top 10, wasn't he?
I think he was 10th.
Didn't he qualify top 10? He was top 10 in both practice sessions. I think he was like 9th in both practice sessions.
Qualified 10th for the race.
Qualified 10th, moved up a couple spots, I think. Was running decent.
To touch on the rookies a little bit, too.
Well, hang on a minute. Let's talk about finish up with Connor. So, he's running pretty well as you're giving me a crazy look, but... He's running pretty well, and then all of a sudden, even he said, what the hell happened?
Just didn't have the pace.
Because those stints, his second stint, third stint, yeah, he just didn't have the pace.
I think he was a three-stop guy.
I don't know.
I want to say, I could be wrong.
Either way.
It wasn't a very good day for Connor.
No, it was like, he went backwards, but...
Suck to see.
So now, let's talk about these rookies. Okay, so I'll say one thing, and then you can say what you want to say. If you've been living under a rock for a while and you did not know that Jimmy Johnson was in the IndyCar series, definitely knew if you watched the race, because every other commercial – was Jimmy Johnson's Carvana commercial. literally. And it may be more than every other commercial. It may have been like 3 out of 4 commercials.
I think it was.
I mean, you saw more Jimmy Johnson Carvana ads than... And that's how you market.
Oh, they are marketing the hell out of Jimmy Johnson.
That's how you market. And that's on Carvana.
Yeah.
But that's how NASCAR... became so popular because they know how to market their drivers.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what IndyCar needs, is to market their drivers.
And when they've got some pretty stellar ones at the moment. They got some pretty good drivers.
Talk to us about the rookies.
The rookies of the field. Going into qualifying first, the top qualifier, who looked strong all weekend, was Romain Grosjean. Looked really good all weekend. Next up, you'd have Scotty McLaughlin in that number 3 Penske. And then he didn't qualify last. He got Jimmy Johnson.
That was his goal.
That was his goal.
He did not qualify last.
The only person he legitimately got qualified, though, was Dalton Keller.
That's all right.
That's a win.
That's all right.
That's a win.
Jimmy's on a steep learning curve.
And it shows, too. He's taking his time in practice.
But I'll tell you what, man. The guy... If you didn't like him, like I was never a huge Jimmy Johnson fan when he was in NASCAR.
Yeah.
But the guy's genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying all the right things. He's you know, but he's just being truthful and honest when he's talking about these cars. And one, how much fun he's having.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And two, what a beast these cars are to drive.
They're tough to drive.
Right. Yeah. And he's living out his childhood dream. He wanted to be an IndyCar driver because he grew up, just like me, idolizing Rick Mears.
And at the time, Chevy just happened to pull out of IndyCar. That kind of led him into the NASCAR route. So...
Yeah.
And the rest is history, as they say. He's a 7-time NASCAR Cup champion, and here he is.
So, Jimmy finished where?
He finished the race in 19th.
19th place.
So he improved by two positions.
Not bad.
And that's with losing, kind of spinning out midway through the race.
Well, he kind of spun out, but he was also damn near sideways on that back long stretch in the Joseph Newgarden wreck, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But he kind of jumped on the brakes, got it sideways, came up. I think him and Hinch kind of banged wheels or wheeled a side pod, and it kind of straightened him out a little bit.
But I don't think it did any damage.
No, and then he just weaved his way through. So
next up, you got Scotty McLaughlin, finished 14th. Just an average day for the rookie, working his way through the day in his first race.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, I kind of expected a little more.
I did.
Out of him, but he's learning.
That's like we said last week when we did our breakdown. Right. You said he can either be a contender,
right,
on the edge.
He can be in all of them.
Good points day, not even close.
So, but good for him, bringing it home. All in one piece.
And Romain Grosjean getting a top 10 in his first IndyCar start.
Top 10, yeah. And he seems like he enjoyed himself.
Oh, he's loving it, yeah.
Great run, finishing the top 10. I think he was on a three-stop strategy,
I think he was a three-stop guy.
Yeah. But great for Grosjean.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
And that wraps up your rookies.
Going down and talking about the Joseph Newgarden wreck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very uncharacteristic mistake.
He just lost it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we were sitting there watching. I was like, what are you, like, are you kidding me? Like, he just doesn't make, he just doesn't do that.
No.
And around he goes, and
mayhem.
It was almost like the big one. But, yeah, I mean, just, he took out Herta. He took out Rosenquist. He takes out Ryan Hunter-Reay, which, you know, Ryan Hunter-Reay has been, he tweeted out a thing that the aero screen, he thinks the aero screen probably saved his life. And if you go back and you watch it slow-mo, you look at the pictures, it sure does look like that.
Looks like there was a tire
like
headed his
way. Like J-News tire was headed right for his face.
For sure.
And it just bounces right off that aero screen. Mm-hmm. And you know, so good on the aero screen. You know, I wasn't a big fan of it to begin with. But
I'm the same way, but it's growing on me.
That thing's grown on me. So, it took out. And Hinch kind of got tangled up in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about, Jimmy Johnson kind of got tangled up in it. Sebastian Bourdais, he was right in the thick of it.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And, hell, he ended up finishing fifth.
Yes, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Seabass is a stud, you know what I mean? It's just, he's going to make that Foyt team look pretty good this year.
Yes,
I think
he will. Yes, he will.
But really, the weekend was dominated by Pato O'Ward,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
From practice to qualifying to the race, their team picked the wrong strategy.
Yes, and then honestly, you could say the same for Rossi.
And Rossi, because Rossi was looking. Matter of fact, at the beginning of the race,
Rossi was looking stronger than
Rossi
Pato.
Was looking
he
stronger
was
than Pato.
He was hanging with him, and
right.
I think he just got to a point where he was just going to save some fuel.
He was pressuring Pato pretty good, and when they were doing the end car from Rossi's car, man, Pato, he looked awfully loose.
He was pretty loose
going around in the corners, but man, he was just driving the hell out of
him. And then they went on their three stop, and
yeah.
Pato kept the pace, and I think Rossi just kind of got stuck in traffic.
And he comes
sometimes.
Out finishing ninth.
Yeah, which is I don't think he's going to be too happy with that result.
No, not at all. Not at all. So going down, some of the order for the finishing order, Alex Palou gets his first win in an IndyCar.
Good to see, yeah.
Gets his first win in his inaugural race with Chip Ganassi Racing.
The last person to do that was, in fact, Dan Weldon.
So, and as we all know, Chip likes winners.
Yes.
So, pretty spectacular for Alex Palou. He definitely announced his presence
with
authority.
He was solid all day. And the crazy is he was on the two-stop, so he's saving fuel, but, I mean, he was still quick.
The crate, he's going to be good all year.
Dude. Yeah, he's going to be tough.
He's going to be good all year. Looking forward on my note, I don't even have him on my podium, but which is crazy.
He's not on my podium either.
But, good job, Alex Palou. Congratulations on winning your first race. Coming home in second is the man, probably our favorite Team Penske driver, Slick Willie P. Will Power.
Love me some Will Power.
Brings it home second. And ho-hum, just another podium, Scott Dixon.
He's just right there.
Brings it on third.
Has a quiet day the whole day, and there he is in third.
right, and he's right there. Pato comes home in fourth. Sebastian Bourdais, fifth. Rinus VK in sixth.
Which Rinus wasn't also. He was another one that was
involved. He was involved in that wreck.
Him and Seb both kind of came back from that. And
so he had a very, very good day. Results. And then coming home seventh was Graham Rahal.
Just another. He started way back in the pack. Yeah. I think he was like 18th.
I tell you what, man. If they can figure out how to qualify.
It'll be tough. I mean, they're tough.
Man, but I think that's been their Achilles heel.
Is qualifying. At certain tracks, yeah.
Yeah, he's just got to. Because he led the morning warm-up.
Yeah, he did. He had a fast race car.
On Sunday. So, man, I just...
Hopefully they figure that out.
Because we love us some Graham Rahal, man.
Yeah, for sure.
And we want him to win some races.
Yeah.
But they got to qualify. And they know that. I mean, we're not telling them something they don't know. But, again, Rossi comes home in ninth. Our guy, Connor Daly, comes home in 16th. He's not going to be happy with that.
Yeah.
At all. And that kind of wraps up Barber.
Good race, in my opinion. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good mix of, I think there was a decent amount of action going on with a good combination of seeing who what strategy is going to end up working towards the end.
Very much. Also, on top of that, very good crowd.
Yeah, for sure.
Very good crowd.
For being limited.
The place is just beautiful.
Yeah, it's called the Augusta of Racing for a reason.
Read that. I saw that, and I'm like...
I said the same thing.
I'm like, come on, man. You know, IMS is the everything of racing, right? The Augusta, the Taj Mahal, whatever you want to say. I mean,
but it is a nice.
But race. We will get to Barber.
Yeah, for sure.
One of these years, maybe next year we get to Barber. It's just so hard because I want to go back to St. Pete.
St. Pete's kind of nice. So especially when you ran a Dodge Charger with the Hemi in there.
Right. Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. So, talking about St. Pete, we're going to take our first break.
Yep.
And we're going to come back and we're going to preview St. Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit to talk about on St. Pete. So hang with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Around the Outside.
Yep.
And welcome back to Around the Outside with your hosts, Chris and Ryan. Getting ready to talk about maybe my second favorite place to go watch a race. Obviously,
that we've been to.
Yeah, obviously IMS is first. But St. Pete.
Streets of St. Petersburg.
Gorgeous.
It is a wonderful experience.
Wonderful. Gorgeous. Yep. Weather's great.
Can't beat it.
You're in Florida. It's just an absolute blast. And the last time we went, we were fortunate enough to have been hooked up with credentials for the entire weekend.
Yep. So we had paddock passes. We had
pit passes. We had everything
for the whole weekend. Yeah, so.
And it was spectacular.
Yeah. Really cool experience.
But St. Pete, getting to the track, it's a 1.8 mile, 14 turn street course.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a very, I think they still call it Dan Wilden Way.
Yeah, they do.
On the, like, yeah. that back
they still
part.
Call it that, yeah.
Incorporates a actual runway from an active airport.
Mm-hmm.
Just a neat layout.
Yeah, you know, it's a really layout. Cool track layout.
The inside of that track is gorgeous because you got that Dolly Museum area right there, and then you've got that one stretch that's as they come out of Pioneer Park where they go they round Pioneer Park and they come down that long backstretch area with the little kink in it before that, you know, hard left-hander. You can stand up there and kind of look down over the track, over the car, which is right across from the marina.
Yeah.
With all the boats and yachts. I mean, it's
a really cool.
If you've never had the opportunity to go to St. Pete,
get out there.
Man, it is absolutely spectacular.
For sure. It's really cool.
Plus
you're in Tampa, Florida.
Plus you're in Tampa, Florida.
So, which is quite nice.
Yeah. Not a long jaunt from the airport. Pretty easy.
No, it's a pretty easy drive.
Pretty easy fly in, get your car, get to your hotel. It's not hard at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not hard at all. So, going back and looking at past results of this race, it is Penske dominated. Okay?
Very.
Now, we sound like a broken record because we said the same thing last week about Barber. We said it's Penske dominated. Penske dominated. Joseph Newgarden dominated. Love that race. Well, Joseph Newgarden has won the last two races at St. Pete. Right?
Yeah.
Elio's won it a couple times. Juan Pablo won it when he was with Penske.
He won it back-to-back. Wills won it.
Sebastian Bourdais won it back-to-back. Yep. Hinch won it. I think Ray Hall's first IndyCar win was at St. Pete.
2008.
He was a youngster.
He was pretty young. He was probably younger than what I am now, I think.
So, you know, a lot of good winners there. But Penske dominated. Now, does that what happens this weekend? Like, what's Jay New do? Does he bounce back? You know,
are they struggling?
You know, or does the cartoon anvil, as Marshall Pruitt likes to, does it move from Ryan Hunter Ray? Is this just not Jay New's year?
I don't know. We'll have to find out. You know this what I mean? Weekend, yeah.
What's weird is like with Penske, like it seems like if you have a bad year, you win the 500.
That has been the case,
right?
Yeah,
because you know everybody thought Simon Pagenaud was on his way out,
and then he swept the month of May,
and then he wins the 500.
Yeah,
even
at when back in 2009, Elio almost went to jail. Came back and won the 500. Then same thing with Will. Right. He was probably struggling.
You know, I don't know.
Maybe this is his year to do it.
Maybe this is Joseph's year to, you know, struggle and just have bad luck.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be a tricky race for Jimmy Johnson, I have a feeling, because there is not a lot of room on that track for error.
There's not a lot of runoff.
Like, I don't think there's any room for error. But I think Jimmy will have fun.
I think he'll figure it out.
So it'll be interesting to see how those three rookies get on. Now, Scott McLaughlin ran this race.
Yeah, so he last has year. A good idea what's
so
going on.
So he's got an idea of, you know, of he knows the track and all that stuff. We'll see how Romain.
Yeah, to me, Romain is Romain. He's going to be pretty solid.
He's goes. You know, obviously he's used to street courses. What's the street course that Formula One races that when we run it on Xbox, it's just, I don't know how they race there. Uzbekistan or
Baku?
But I mean,
I don't know.
The
castle section
it
there
is tight. I mean,
it is really tight.
I mean, like you can't be a flea hair off.
No, you got to be perfect on.
So I think Romain will be fine. Jimmy will be.
I think he'll figure it out.
Jimmy will be the interesting one to watch because
I hope he figures it
out. He will.
He's either going to figure it out or they're going to have a wrecked race car.
I don't think Jimmy's into wrecking race cars.
Neither do I.
You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens with that. But so those three rookies will be interesting to watch. It's going to be interesting to see what Ryan Hunter Ray can pull out. This is basically his home track.
Yeah.
It's basically Sebastian's home track.
That too, yep.
Right? It was Dan's home track. So we're going to, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure.
With, I mean, we can say that about every race, but.
Yeah, we can, I mean, especially, I mean, this year, this is the deepest talent I think we've seen in IndyCar in a long time. So yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
You really don't know what to expect on any given weekend.
I don't remember seeing a lot of rain down there, but.
I don't ever remember a rain race at St. Pete.
But I'm sure there's been one, because they've been running there for a while.
Well, I'm sure there has been, but for me in recent memory.
But so I don't know about weather. I haven't checked the IndyCar weatherman.
I have not either.
On Twitter, that's a great.
Good, great follow.
Great follow if you don't follow him on Twitter. Fast six. So we're going to predict our fast six, and then of the fast six, you tell me who you got on the pole. All right. So give me your fast six.
I have mine in order.
All right, here's your... So going from sixth to first.
Sixth to the first. Okay. I have Rosenquist.
Whew.
Rossi. Dixon. Pillow. Newgarden. And Will Power on pole.
Really?
Shocker not having O'Ward in there, isn't it? Decided to be a little different.
All right, so here's mine. My fast, and this is in no particular order, mm-hmm. And then I'll give you my poll winner. My fast six, Pato O'Ward. Mm-hmm. I think he just continues it on, keeps it going. I think it's going to be a year-long process. Now we'll see what he does on the ovals, especially Indy. But we'll see. So Pato O'Ward, Scott Dixon. Obviously, I mean, you can't bet against him. Will Power.
Mm-hmm.
Colton Herta.
Yep.
Alexander Rossi.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay New, Joseph Newgarden.
All right.
That's my fast six.
Who's your pole?
My pole sitter for this race is Alexander Rossi.
Okay.
That's what I think. He was strong last week.
He would have won this race last year if he doesn't wreck.
Yeah, he would have won the race. I think he's on a mission. Ninth isn't where he wanted to be.
No, but it's an okay
in the first race. So so I'm picking Alexander Rossi to be on the pole.
Okay.
I think it's going to be an all Andretti front row with Rossi and Herta.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a Penske front row.
Do you?
Yeah, with you do. Joseph and Will on pole.
I almost didn't put Newgarden in the fast six just because I really have this gut feeling that he's just going to have a shit year.
Really?
I don't know why. I just got this feeling. Now,
you say that now, he's going to come out on
Sunday and he's going to lead every practice session, get the pole, and win the race. I mean, that'd be typical Joseph Newgarden. So,
all right, who you got on your podium?
Okay, so I'll go first on my podium. So coming in third, keeping this season strong exactly the way he's wanting to do it is Slick Willie P. Mm-hmm. Will Power will come home in third place.
Okay.
Pato O'Ward will come home in second place.
Good points day.
And bringing home the victory, just like he should have last year, from the pole will be Alexander Rossi.
Okay.
That's my podium.
That'd be nice to see.
Yeah.
My podium is Newgarden in third. I've got Scott Dixon coming in second. And my winner also comes from the pole in an old-fashioned Slick Willie P race, starting from pole, winning from pole.
It wouldn't shock me.
He's a stud.
One bit. So that's our St. Pete preview. Again, I can't wait. I'm glad we're into this now. It's just back to back to back. You know, just
yeah,
races.
We're into IndyCar season.
It's going to be May here any minute, and we're going to get a doubleheader in Texas, and then move into the month of May.
Yeah.
So,
I'm excited.
So yeah, so St. Pete is going to be awesome.
Uh-huh.
So everybody tune in. This weekend,
I believe this. It's I think it's on. Yep, this week is on NBC again.
Another NBC race.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, I did read, because we talked last episode, last week, about how they're not coming back to NBC, but I did read over the course of this week that they are negotiating back with NBC.
Yeah, I think their contract is just...
So it's just going to depend on... But people are saying, well, you know, they're cutting them because why would you cut Paul Tracy down to only six races and only have two people in the booth and you're cutting budget?
I'm not sure. I've read...
And blah, 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 blah.
You know, people speculating with, if you've seen the Superstar Race Experience, I think that's what it's called, Tony Stewart's new thing. That.
Yeah, but I read it straight from Tracy, where he posted that he was blindsided by this, and had he known that this was going to only be six races, he had other racing opportunities that he turned down.
Really?
Because he thought he would be on the IndyCar broadcast.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't think this has anything to do with that racing series.
Well, I wasn't saying that. I was suggesting, because if you look at their broadcasters, I think Hinch is one of their guys for that. Yeah. And it's through CBS. So what I was getting at was the rumor was it could be CBS is picking up their motorsports.
Oh.
But that was back when the talks were NBC was going to be a no-go.
Well, maybe it is CBS. Who knows?
Because I think they got Alan Bestwick, too, to be their head.
They got to go somewhere. Yeah. That's just all I know. So, yeah. All right. So, moving on from St. Pete, we're going to talk a little bit of betting.
A little betting.
Right now, you can bet on several different places. DraftKings has got it. PointsBet has got it. I think PointsBet is affiliated with NBC, aren't they? Somehow.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
What's the other one? Bovado or something like that?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
You can bet there. They got a little bit more. You can do matchups and top threes and stuff like that.
On PointsBet, you just have the typical.
Right now.
Just race. Which is
just like DraftKings. Mm-hmm. So if you look it up on DraftKings, you're just going to see, you can just pick the winner. Now, once it gets past qualifications, they'll, at least last week, they had. You still pick the winner, and they adjust their odds. But they also had matchups. So it was like this driver versus this driver, and who's going to finish ahead of that one.
Right.
So at least they had that. But right now, and really, you can get better odds on PointsBet.
Yeah.
Right now, Joseph Newgarden is plus 450 on DraftKings, but he's plus 480 on PointsBet.
Yep.
Will Power has this exact same odds. Yeah. So the bookies.
So my front row are the favorites.
So Vegas has J. New and Power as the favorites.
That's what I like to hear.
Dixon's plus 550. Hurton is plus 1,000 on DraftKings and plus 1,100 on PointsBet. That's a pretty good bet.
That is a good bet.
Because basically, if you don't know what that means, plus 1,000 is basically 10 to 1.
Yeah. Another good bet I see is Sebastian Bourdais, in my opinion.
What's
he is plus 2,500.
That is a good bet. Rossi's is 800 and 850, respectively. A couple long shots here, and I don't even like to call them long shots because both of them can win the damn race.
Yeah.
But if you want to make some money, put $5 on Connor Daly.
That'd be a good payday.
And or Jack Harvey, both at plus 8,000 on DraftKings. What are they on PointsBet?
On points, you said plus 8,000?
Yeah.
They're plus 8,000.
Okay. So plus 8,000.
Or according to PointsBet, they have Max Alexander Chilton.
Yeah.
That's how his name is listed.
What's he at? Like 10,000 or something?
40.
40,000.
Jimmy Johnson is plus 30,000. And Dalton Kellett brings up the rear at plus 50,000.
So they actually have Jimmy Johnson with better odds than Max Chilton.
And Dalton Kellett.
That's crazy. that's just crazy, man. So, There's some bets for you.
Mm-hmm.
go get on him. And I mean, you don't got to spend a ton of money, and I'm not trying.
A couple bucks.
Yeah, we're not trying to tell anybody how to spend their money. Yeah. But the more people that get on there and do it, the more options that we're going to have. Because like if you, like we talked about last week, Bet IndyCar on Twitter. We follow him and go back and forth. And he hit us up and said, you know, wouldn't it be nice to be able to put $20 down on like a pick six for like a $200,000 pot?
It'd be awesome.
That's what NASCAR gets.
Yeah, we don't get that
yet. Right. That's what NASCAR gets. I would love to see that. I would love to be able to pull up DraftKings and bet on who's the winner going to be, who's going to be top three, who's going to be top five. Multiple different matchups,
bet on qualifying even.
Yeah, I mean, it would be awesome. So, but here again, the series needs to align themselves with
somebody.
I mean,
right now, so it would be PointsBet.
You would think it would be PointsBet because of the NBC deal. But if you really want to do something, and you're not worried, you know, so you don't worry about are you on NBC or are you on CBS, align yourself with DraftKings or FanDuel.
One of them.
Yeah. One of the two.
They're both very good.
That's the two biggest, they are the two biggest ones in the States right now, okay? Yeah. And if a YouTube streamer in Dr. Disrespect can be affiliated with FanDuel, surely the IndyCar series can be affiliated with some of them guys.
You
now,
think.
Doc is huge.
Doc is who?
Okay. I mean,
Pat McAfee is another one that's affiliated with
Pat him. McAfee is affiliated with FanDuel.
Yep.
I mean,
has been for a long time.
Both those guys have huge followings. Okay, I don't know what Pat's is on YouTube. Is he on YouTube?
His show streams on YouTube.
Yeah, but like Doc's is in the millions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, you know, come on, IndyCar, do something about that. So, but those are your bets. If I had to tell you who to put your money on.
Who you going with?
Well, I said it in the thing, and I've already made my bets, my pre-qualifying bets.
Okay.
I bet on Pato O'Ward.
Solid bet.
I bet on Alexander Rossi, and I bet on Colton Herta.
All good bets.
Those are the three guys I'm riding with pre-qualifications.
I think I would have to agree with the old Bet IndyCar. I think good old Team Penske might throw a wrench in that plan.
They probably will. And depending on the way qualifications shake out,
the odd shift,
I'll be throwing some cash over down on probably Slick Willie P.
Smart man.
So,
yeah.
How do you not put some money down on Scott Dixon? Right. How do you, you know what I mean?
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. They need a top three. Like,
yeah.
Here's the winner. Now, is this guy going to finish top three? Yes or no? You know,
some head to heads.
Hopefully, as the season goes on, because I remember DraftKings last year, they had a little bit more options. So we'll see. So, having said all that, we're going to take our second and final break. And when we come back, we are going to discuss the recent news coming out of Indianapolis and IMS about the race day attendance number that was listed.
Mm-hmm.
So, stay tuned for that. You're listening to Around the Outside.
An IndyCar podcast.
And welcome back to the third and final segment of Around the Outside. And before we get started on the news out of Indy, we would be not very cool if we didn't mention that today would have been Greg Moore's 46th birthday.
Yeah. And we'd like to imagine that he'd still be out there racing somewhere.
Somewhere. I don't know. It may be IndyCar. It may be sports cars. Who knows? But as everybody knows, he was set to take over that number three Penske car when his crash happened, I believe, out of California. And that was a nasty, nasty wreck. But that tragic event opened the door for Elio Castro Neves to take that seat, and the rest is history. Mm-hmm. So, happy birthday to Greg Moore. I know there's a ton of Greg Moore fans out there. I know that's where that's Hinch says it all the time. That's why he wears the red gloves, because he was a huge Greg Moore fan.
Yeah, for sure.
So, happy birthday to Greg Moore.
Yes,
who would have been 46 today. So, moving on to
major news.
Major news. And you were the one that told me about it yesterday.
I just happened to be looking on Twitter just saw it. So, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway has come out and announced that the, I believe, the 105th running of the world's best race ever will have 40% capacity with 135,000 people.
135,000. That's like the largest gathering of people.
It is the largest gathering of people
since Corona.
Yeah.
Well.
Which is awesome.
So we had to get on and the first email that we got.
Which about a couple weeks ago now.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Came out and said, if you plan on going to the race, don't do anything.
Right.
If you want to opt out, then you got to go in and change your stuff to opt out. So then we get another email yesterday that says, if you're going to go to the race, now you've got to get on and confirm your tickets. Mm-hmm. So I believe the number that they were going to hit is the number that they have, because they said they sold like 170,000 tickets so far. When they had stopped it.
Yeah.
And like roughly 35,000 people, 30 or 35,000 people.
Once they sent out that email 2 weeks ago.
Opted out. Yeah. And, you know, want to push their tickets. So that brings you down to the 135,000 mark.
Yeah.
So my next question was, well, what about practice days? Mm-hmm. What about quals days? What about carb day?
And Doug Bowles came out and cleared that. Basically, it's 135,000 people per day is what they're allowed to have. Which, obviously, if you're here during the month of May on practice days, not nearly 135,000 people are there.
You used to get that on pole day.
You used to, yes. Not anymore, I don't think. You probably come closer to it.
Which sucks.
Yes, but...
We're not even close to that now, but... I'm for pole day, but... Oh, well.
Still love good old pole day.
Well, we do, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I think IndyCar is morphed into a very niche sport. I think...
Yeah, it has.
You've got the people that love it. They bring their kids... Their kids end up loving it. It's just not as mainstream as it was back in the 80s, the early 90s.
No, not as much.
But, you know, look who you had running back then, too. Man. I mean, you had Mario, you had AJ, you had the Unzers, you had Bobby. I mean, it was just...
Some of the most famous names in racing.
And the racing was spectacular. The cars were awesome. You had all the tobacco money in the world that you know. I mean, they were just throwing money at teams. So maybe one day we'll get back there. But 135,000 that's a hell of a lot better than last year, because last year sucked. sitting here watching it on TV.
It was weird.
But it just, I didn't think it just looked weird on TV, too.
It was.
Nobody in the grandstands. But
it'll be nice to have fans back there and actually be there for not just race day, but every day. Practice and quali included. So, and even carb day. Carb day still be going on this year.
Just no concert.
Yeah, no concerts, no stuff like that. Even another thing we were concerned about was our bronze badges.
Right.
And that's actually kind of a big story coming out of it as well. If you have a bronze badge, you had to get on and actually you confirmed it, like your tickets, that you still wanted it. You could have carried or rolled it over to next year. Obviously, we still wanted ours.
Right.
But, and this was actually cleared up a little more today, too. So, when you have to go in to get it. They're not mailing them out. And you have to show that you had at least had the first dose of a vaccination of COVID-19. I think it's at least 2 weeks before.
So, you got to take your card.
And you have to... Which, that was a question, was do you just take it for the bronze bat, or like when you go to get it and that's it, or do you have to show it every day? And you have to show your vaccination card every day.
To get into the garages.
To get in the garages and the
pit lane. Or the pit lane, right.
Yep. Which is, I found really interesting, but hey, I'll do whatever, dude.
Right. And you were on the fence about getting the shot.
I was at first.
Because you were one of the people that was scheduled to get the Johnson & Johnson shot at the track.
Actually, yeah, 2 days before is when the whole blood clot thing came up. Right,
is when that whole, you know, they stopped
it. So they switched over to Moderna.
For 6 people out of 6 million.
I think it was actually like 7.
I mean, it's just crazy. So yeah, they switched over to Moderna, so you went down and got that.
I ended up going and get it, yeah. Which, now they, I mean, I know they're doing more vaccinations through the month of May, so it'll be interesting to see. Because I was told this is kind of off topic, but I'll go be getting it somewhere else with stuff going on at the track. So.
Yeah, because you got to get your second.
But I am glad I have it because I knew it'd come in handy. And sure enough, this announcement came yesterday.
Yeah, and now, you know, I mean, it's...
Because if I didn't have
it... We kind of thought this was coming with this vaccination card, man.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought process getting it.
Not just with the track, but...
With anything, you know?
Right.
I know some schools are already enforcing staff and students to have it. I know
a lot of Ivy League schools.
I feel like, you know, travel-wise, some places you're going to have to have it.
And look, with people, you know, we're not, getting political or anything like that, but... Different people have different views on all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On whether it's, you know, whether it's cool or not to, you know, make you get a vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can make you get it, but they can make it to where it's
pretty tough without it.
You need to have it. I mean, if they make it to where you got to have it to travel or you got to have it. There's a lot of resorts. Like Sandals, like a lot of your all inclusive resorts. I'll look up every once in a while, you know, trips and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them on there that says that we're open for business as long as you've had the vaccination.
Right. So
that's
not the case just for like if you want to come to the track
or
go to the race. You don't have to have your vaccination card. Nope. You can just show up, you'll be okay.
That's just for your silver or bronze badge.
It's for to get into the paddock and back there in the garage.
And the interesting thing was that you have to show it
every day.
Every time you enter, I do a big yawn.
Right.
Woo.
So, yeah, I found that interesting, too.
Because there's sometimes, man, during the day where me and you will walk in and out of the garages 5, 6, 7 times.
Yeah.
We'll walk in.
Do our little stroll.
Do our little lap where we, you know, our little route that we got. And then it ain't nothing happening. Then we just go back out and go back up. And then...
Yeah. It'll be interesting for sure. Another thing is... There's no autograph sessions this year, which is going to be really weird because I don't know what that means for when you're in the garages, because one of our traditions every year is we always buy a hat with the logo on it for that year's race.
And get autographed.
And we get autographed from almost every driver.
The thing you got to remember too, now, it's got to give the drivers some comfort.
Right.
Knowing that. Everybody that's in that garage area,
they're vaccinated.
Is vaccinated.
Right. And I think they said on the broadcast, like 90% of the field right now.
Yeah.
And anyone and everyone in IndyCar is vaccinated.
And that they expect that to be 100% by the time
by the time the race stuff
gets around here. But
so
maybe, because I thought that at first was like, well, you know, it probably wouldn't be cool just to go up to somebody because they're thinking, oh, I mean, how do I know? You don't have, you know, and they can't afford to get it because they don't want to miss races and stuff like that. But now doing it the way they're going to do it, and every person in that garage knows that everybody else that's walking around in that garage has been vaccinated. Maybe that relieves a lot of...
It'll be really interesting to see how drivers interact with fans in the garage this year.
I wouldn't be too pushy.
No.
At first. I think what we'll do or what you'll do is you'll kind of like take a let's see what's kind of going on.
We'll kind of observe first.
Yeah.
This year. We don't want to push any boundaries.
Yeah, you when don't, it comes yeah. to those guys. I mean, hell, you'd have thought that everybody, even before Corona was Corona, you'd have thought everybody in the world had Corona when they dealt with Danica Patrick. So, she was just insane.
I have been yelled at by her.
You have been yelled at by her. So
that was a fun experience.
But we'll see. We'll see what's going on.
That's really about it. Yeah, you know, other than that, you're going to have to wrap it up. I know you have to get temperature checks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's just.
Hopefully, it's not hot as balls on race day.
Stuff we do anyway. So, 135,000 people on race day. It'll be interesting to see how they space that out. It'll be interesting to see if we get our seats or if we're move. Right. Are there going to be people sitting in front of you, sitting behind you?
It will be interesting, for sure.
I saw a thing from Nathan Brown saying that he heard that they're going to be spaced out horizontally, not necessarily vertically, so there may be, in some cases, there may be somebody in the row in front of you, or maybe somebody in the row in back of you.
Yeah.
I don't know, but maybe not somebody directly beside you. You know, which that doesn't really make any sense, because where we sit in J-Stand, I feel sorry for the guys in front of me because my knees just will stay constantly in their back because I'm 6'4", so it's just, you know, it's hard to fit in those things.
That's
anyways.
Why you have the aisle seat.
That's why I have the aisle seat, yes.
I do not.
So, but it'll be interesting to see 135,000. Be glad to be back. I can't wait to stand there and sing Back Home Again and shed
watch
a tear.
Nice driver intros.
Man, I just can't wait. I love it. It can't come,
fast
enough.
Best day of the year.
But with that, we're going to wrap it up and say goodbye. It feels good to be back doing this every week.
Yeah, for sure.
We appreciate the support. I got on the thing today to see how our podcast was doing, and the number that we had of listeners was really good.
Yeah, we were really impressed.
We were like, wow, for 1 week, that was pretty good.
Thank you guys so much for that.
Thank you very much for listening. Spread the word. Tell your friends if they're race fans. Tell them to give Around the Outside a listen.
Yeah, it's
and
it's the place to be.
We'll talk to you again next week.
Yep.
We'll see you.
Deuces.